Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say success.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Pyare Sambhiyo, there are many blessings of reciting Durood e Paak upon Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just want you to imagine for a minute this scene. That it's the Day of Judgment. You've got the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal on the plains of resurrection. Billions of people. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present with all their magnificence and their excellence. And everybody is wanting to be close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then suddenly, you are called out and you're invited to the court of Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shakes hands with you. How amazing would that be? What a start to the Day of Judgment. With that in mind, listen to this hadith of Mubarakah. Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will shake hands with the person on the Day of Judgment. Who? The one who recites Durood e Paak upon me 50 times a day. It doesn't take longer than a few minutes, maximum. Like, it could change your life. You know, in the fast life that we live, a lot of people want a quick solution to your problems. And the best and universal solution, and the universal wazifa for anything, whether it's illness, financial difficulties, children difficulties, whatever it is, the one universal wazifa is Durood e Paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So next time you get stuck, rather than get stressed, rather than scream and shout, rather than do anything else, start to recite Durood e Paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and watch your worries and problems and griefs and anxieties disappear. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The word genius in today's society has become too common. But often it refers to people who master a particular field. He's a genius in maths, he's a genius in science, he's a genius in geography, history, botany, whatever the subject. But over history, there have been very few people who were geniuses, not just in one subject, not just in two subjects, but in every field they walked into. But these people were rare. Hundreds of years passed without such a genius. But the one we're going to talk about today was a real genius in its true sense. His intellectual ability was amazing. His creative power, his natural ability, his brilliance, his intelligence, his talents were so magnificent and so amazing that he single-handedly changed the face of the earth. Perisambio, when it comes to the word genius, in the last 200 years if you look, there is no better personality to fix that word on than Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatul Rahman. When it comes to the mastery of arts, he was a genius when it came to the Quran and the arts of translation. The tafsir of the Quran, the principles of tafsir, the recitation of the Quran, the tajweed, the hadith, the principles of hadith, the encyclopedia, examination, jurisprudence, Islamic theology, syntax, error, Arabic language, rhetoric, Urdu, Arabic, Persian, all the languages, Hindi. And then, not only those sciences, But metaphysics, physics, chemistry, you had mathematics, philosophy, logic, ethics, sociology, economics, political science, commerce, banking. You tell me the sphere of knowledge, and I will tell you that Allah Hazrat is a master in that. This is how amazing this personality was. Let me give you a little glimpse of his amazing, amazing powers. There was a university in then India, because we're talking about before the creation of Pakistan. There was a university in India, Aligarh University, and the professor of mathematics had a very complex mathematical problem. And he couldn't find a solution for it. He visited different parts of India, spoken to different mathematicians, couldn't find an answer. And he decided, he found that there was a genius, an expert in mathematics in Germany. So he decided to travel to Germany to go and find the answer to this mathematical problem. Before he was about to depart, one of his friends insisted that he travel to see somebody very special in Braille Sharif in India. He said, there is a scholar and he is an absolute genius. You should travel there. He said, really? The mathematicians of the country can't solve this problem. You're sending me to a scholar who's going to deal with this. He said, just hear me out. You're going to travel all the way to Germany. It's a long way. This is only a couple of hours. You've got a, you know, conveyance. You can go there, speak to him. You might get your answer. The biographers write that he reached Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhim's time for namaz. So as they sat down and they were just going to go off for namaz, Allah Hazrat said, what is your problem? And he said, well, my problem is very complex. Maulana, you may as well go and read namaz and then come back and we'll sit down and we'll discuss it in detail. Because you can't explain it and I don't expect an answer that quickly. Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali insisted, go on, give me the problem, tell me the problem. So he says, okay then, if you insist, this is what the problem is. So he explains the mathematical problem. And Allah Hazrat says, that's not very complex. This is the answer. And he says, this is the actual guy, he says that I was so amazed by this that I was convinced by the answer being correct. Allah Hazrat then goes off, prays, salah, comes back. And he says, I sat with Allah Hazrat and we talked about this problem, we talked about things generally, and I realized that these are the true inheritors of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this person in front of me is no ordinary person, because there's no way on this earth he could know the answer to this mathematical problem. He must be a wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the amazing personality we're talking about. When it came to poetry, I mean, he amazed everybody at the time, and still now, almost 100 years on, we're still mesmerized by his poetry. You heard the Chamak tujhse paate hain sab paane wale. And you know, people, the amazing nature of his poetry and the deep depths of the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I move to my main area that I wanted to consider today, I'm going to give you a taste of his poetry, because it brings out, every word of it brings out the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll share with you two couplets. In one, Allah Hazrat says, Husn Yusuf pekati Misr mein angusht zana. Sar katate hai tere naam pe mardane Arab. Now what the linguistics of today say is this, that if you were to give a university student an essay of say 5,000 words and said compare these things that Allah has compared, they could write an essay on it easily, because there is so much comparison here. Yet Sayyidi Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi did it in two lines. Husne Yusuf pe kati Misr mein angusht zana, ke in Egypt, the women, looking at the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, cut their fingers. But what does Allah Hazrat write? Sar katate hain tere naam pe mardane Arab. Ke the Arabs, the men of Arab, just by your name, they're willing to give their life for it. And the comparison is a long one. I haven't got time to go into it today, but inshallah some other time. But the linguistics of today are baffled, because you take one sentence and you compare one thing in one sentence to one thing in the next sentence. He said, that is like that. But here, Allah Hazrat has compared so many things in these two sentences that it even baffles the linguistics of today. But Piyar Islami, I want to move much higher than that, much further than that, because there was a particular quality of Allah Hazrat which stood him out from the rest. Allah Hazrat was no doubt a genius. Allah Hazrat, no doubt, who was a friend, a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Ala Hazrat had all his skills and he had all his talents, but there was one talent which stood head and shoulders above everything. To understand this talent, we have to go back a little and understand the science of hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pure actions, the blessed states, the blessed words are considered hadith. Some of the statements of the Sahaba Ikram, the Tabi'een, the fortunate individuals, the Tabi'een were those who saw the Sahaba Ikram. Their words are also considered to be hadith. And that this is a very complex science, which has intricate rules of how it's managed. And it comes from a very important ayah mubarakah in the glorious Quran. Because the glorious Quran is amazing, it's the most superior source of knowledge. But then it is supported by the hadith mubarakah. And the scholars from the time of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have carried them together. And the scholars of hadith have preserved the words and the actions of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the glorious Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Najm, verses 3 and 4. And he does not say anything of his own desire. It is not but revelation which is sent down upon him. So everything that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was divine revelation. It was divinely inspired. And that's why the science of capturing that and preserving it and checking it and passing it from generation to generation over the centuries was a very, very important science. And what the Sunni scholars did was didn't give this task to anybody. The beauty of this was that they reserved this task for the geniuses and those with a deep love and devotion to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this science of hadith. Why? Because these were the fragrant words of Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the wise words that were deeper than the deepest ocean. These were the secrets to the world. These were the secrets to life and creation. And so these words needed to be preserved, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, 1460 years of history testifies that our blessed scholars and pious predecessors did everything they could. They traveled for months just to get one hadith mubarakah. I was reading one waqia where somebody went to listen to hadith mubarakah and the Ravi said that you've come here but you don't get hadith mubarakah that easily. You need to fast for a full year and then come back to me to learn this hadith mubarakah. This is the level that these people went to preserve, honor, and respect the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when it came to Ala Hazrat, and when it came to the science of hadith, and I've already told you he was a master in a lot of sciences. But when it came to mastering this science, wow, there was nobody like him. I mean, speaking Arabic at the age of 4, completing the Quran at the age of 6, and completing Dars-e-Nizami, the scholarly course, and I'm not talking about these quick courses, I'm talking about a proper course at the age of 14 and starting to write fatwas. This is Islamic jurisprudence and giving judgments at the age of 14, taking the answer from the glorious Quran and the beautiful Hadith of Mubarakah and setting it out beautifully. This was Ala Hazrat. When it came to the way that Ala Hazrat dealt with it, the scholars write that his cognitive ability, his technical expertise and his mastery of the science of hadith was unbelievable. In that century, in that time, there was nobody on the surface of the earth who possessed such excellence. Let me give you an example. That's one of the best books that you can read is Bahari Shariat. Maulana Amjad Ali Azmi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. This guy was a genius. Muhaddith, he knew thousands of hadith in Mubarakah. And to this day, people look up to him as the master. He was the student of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. So can you imagine if the students are like this, what the teacher is like? Absolutely amazing. So Ala Hazrat, the scholars write that his proficiency, his understanding, his categorization, because Hadith Mubarakah need to be categorized and the chain of narrations need to be looked at. And there are, it's a very complex science. They don't just take anybody's word for it and they don't take anything from anywhere. These are very strict rules. And there are the six main books of Hadith Mubarakah, and then there are many others as well. And Ala Hazrat was the master of these books. He was a scholar of ability that was scary. Then not only that though, because a lot of people have this photographic memory. They can just look at a thing and off it goes. But Ala Hazrat's genius was to then remember all that and then apply it to the situations that came before him. And that's how you get this amazing book of Fatawa Rizviya Sharif, which deals with everyday problems and answers from the Quran and Hadith, which even today's scholars look at for their answers, and today they're baffled by the genius of Ala Hazrat. But then, Ala Hazrat, being Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul Rahman, went one step further as well. You could have a genius, you can have somebody who can apply it, but you also had somebody who acted upon the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that was an amazing combination. These were all factors that made him stand out. And the light that Ala Hazrat lit almost 100 years ago, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, is still lighting up the paths for the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. And all over the world, you will see that people acknowledge the genius of Ala Hazrat. And a lot of us think that he was limited to the Asian subcontinent. It wasn't like that. Ala Hazrat goes on his second Hajj, and there are scholars from all over the world, Syria, Egypt, where, everywhere, the whole of the Middle East and beyond. And when they sit and they talk to each other, they acknowledge that this man is truly something else. This is muhaddith from all over the world. This is scholars from all over the world with the highest abilities. And they are accepting that this person who's come from Hind and Bareilly Sharif, wow, he is something special. So these are the special ones, you know, the best of the best saying he is the best. This is how amazing Ala Hazrat was. You know, Hazrat Alama Wasi Ahmad Surti Rahmatullah, a great muhaddith of his time, he was such an amazing, amazing scholar that he had memorized the whole of Sahih Bukhari Sharif. That is a big book. And yet he says that this person, Imam Ahmad Raza, was something else. He says his brilliance was magnificent, but above that, I was the master of Hadith. I had memorized Bukhari Sharif. But when I sat in the company of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul Rahman, I tasted the sweetness of Iman because of his spirituality. It wasn't just a genius. He was on that great spiritual level. The great scholars were amazed by his position. To understand his amazing, amazing status, in one of his questions, somebody asked him, which books of Hadith have you read and taught? And Ala Hazrat mentioned there are over 50 books. Now, over 50 books may not sound a lot, but let me tell you this. Let's take the six main books that we had. Sahih Bukhari Sharif, Sahih Muslim Sharif, Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan Tirmidhi, Sunan An-Nisa'i, and Sunan Ibn Majah. In these books, let me give you a breakdown. Forget the 50 books that are, Allah has said over 50 books. But in Sahih Bukhari alone, there are 1,823 pages, 7,563 hadith mubarak. Sahih Muslim is 1,157 pages, 3,033 hadith mubarak. Sunan Abi Dawood, 5,273 hadith mubarak. Then Sunan Tirmidhi Sharif, you've got 3,958. Sunan Nisa'i is 5,769, and then Ibn Majah, you've got 4,341 hadith mubarakah. These were the basic texts. I'm not talking about the other 44 or plus books, because Allah says they're over 50. These were the ones he mastered. In this way, when only 20 of these collections of the hadith mubarakah are considered volumes and volumes and volumes, roughly 134,000 in 20 of these books. And can you imagine the knowledge of this genius? But it was beyond that as well. It wasn't just memorizing it. It was bringing that to the forefront of his mind whenever the problem arose that needed that hadith in Mubarak. This was the genius. Some ignorant, foolish people say, today we can do that on a computer. You know, there was one fool who said, I'm as clever as Nauzubillah, you know, the Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Why? Because I can Google anything and I can get it straight away. That is the most foolish thing to ever say. Because you won't know what to bring up and where to bring up. The genius of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman was that when he saw the situation, his mind immediately told him, this ayat of the Quran and these hadith of Mubarakah are relevant to this situation. And then he analyzed those and gave a fatwa that people could understand and live their lives by. This was the genius of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, Ala Hazrat didn't just make his place in history and in the hearts of the people through being a normal scholar. He made his place in history by the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his attachment to hadith Mubarakah, his passion and his love for reading them. He wasn't reading them just to be a scholar. He wasn't reading them just for the sake of reading them. He was reading the hadith Mubarakah with this in mind, that these are the beautiful words of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what stood him out from everybody else. He was truly one of those devotees of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who spent his life deeply, deeply moved in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people came to him and said, what do you say about a sajdai tazimi? You know, prostration out of respect and reverence. Immediately, he came up with verses of the Quran and 40 hadith Mubarakah saying that although this was allowed in the past nations, it is haram in our Sharia. When people came to him and said, that what do you say about calling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dafi'ul bala, the repeller of calamities, because they said this is shirk, immediately Ala Hazrat quoted 300 hadith Mubarakah proving that you could call Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dafi'ul bala, the repeller of calamities. When people came to him and they said, some people say, if the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most superior of all the prophets, then prove this from the noble Quran and the hadith Mubarakah. And Ala Hazrat, again, Allah Ta'ala's blessings were upon him, that he again quoted the Quran and hadith Mubarakah and convinced the people of the time. Whenever a problem occurred, Ala Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi immediately dealt with it from the Quran and the hadith. He's asked how angels are created, writing on this subject. Ala Hazrat mentioned 24 hadith Mubarakah. On the day of judgment, our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will perform intercession on this particular topic. He quoted 40 hadith Mubarakah. He brought forth 56 hadith Mubarakah on the importance of the beard, and then 91 hadith Mubarakah on the rights of the parents. This was the genius of Ala Hazrat. But not only that, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman was an expert and a master in hadith. Now, in the times, you had muhaddith. You had different levels, different ranks of muhaddith. And these were people who knew the hadith Mubarakah. Then you had huffaz of thousands of hadith Mubarakah. Then you had, you know, higher status than this. And then, right at the top, and you get these very few, hundreds of years apart, was Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith, the leader of jurisprudence on hadith. And the scholars were united in saying that there's only one man who deserves this amazing title, and that is Imam Ahmad Reza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. Pyare Islam Bhaiyo, Ala Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi was a genius. We are very fortunate that we are upon that beautiful path that Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman gave us. And there are a lot of myths in relation to Brelvi Sharif and everything else. Let me just clarify something for you today. What Ala Hazrat didn't do was look at the Quran, look at the Hadith of Mubarakah and concoct something himself, which is common these days. What Ala Hazrat actually did was said, we need to get rid of everything and we need to go back to the root. Go back to the Hadith of Mubarakah, go back to the Quran, go back to the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and go back to the ways of the beautiful companions. This is what Ala Hazrat did. He didn't say anything of his own accord. What he said was,
When you have a problem, you will try to take the ayat of the Quran and interpret it as your intellect tells you. You will look at your mood, whether you've had an argument today, what mood you're in, and you will interpret it according to that. You will look at the hadith mubarakah and you will interpret it according to that. But that's not how it should be done. What you need to do is look at the ayat of the Quran and see what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about it. When you look at the ayat of the Quran, what did the companions say and do about it? When you look at the ayat of the Quran, what did the tabi'in, taba tabi'in do about it? What did the great pious predecessors say about it? Take the hadith mubarakah. What did the sahaba ikram do? How did they act? And if you want to interpret the Quran and if you want to interpret the hadith, then this is the way to do it. You don't just pick it up, cherry pick hadiths and make it suit what your intellect says. So you want to get from A to B and you use the Quran and hadith. This is not what Islam was. What Islam was what Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman taught us at the beginning of the last century. He said, look, if you're going to do this science, I'm the master of it. This is how you do it. This is how you guide people to the path that goes to Medina. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman was truly somebody amazing. And like I said before, his qualities, his genius and everything else was unmatched. But the one thing that stood him out from everything else was his deep love of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His devotion to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that he wrote many, many beautiful couplets. Peyar Islam Bey, Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman was truly a great gift for us. Your Dawat Islami is on the path that Allah Hazrat set. The mission of Dawat Islami is to propagate the teachings of Allah Hazrat so that we can live our lives by the Quran and the beautiful Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All over the world are praising Amir al-Sunnah Dawat Barakatum al-Aliyah and the Maktaba of Dawat Islami for publishing the books of Allah Hazrat, the English Maktaba for translating them and spreading the word and the teachings of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. Why? Because what those teachings do is bring me and you closer to Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me leave you with this, that in life there will be lots of situations where you might be confused, you might be in doubt, you might not know which the correct path is on any particular issue in religion. You know, the safest thing to do is to find out what Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman says about this. Because you've heard about his intellect. Read what he says and then never look back. Because once you've read what Allah Hazrat says, there will be no doubt in your mind on any issue that is tasking you and you're thinking about. Peyar Islam Bey, Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman has left for us an important treasure. The question today is this: what are we doing? He was the master of all these sciences. Are we the master of anything? Apart from wanting to make money in our lives? When was the last time we read a book, a religious book? When was the last time we read a hadith mubarakah? We've got time for novels and Facebook and Twitter and everything else. When was the last time that we read the Quran? You know, you get time for even the junk mail that comes through our door. We're old, we're going towards a dark and lonely grave. But there are a lot of us sat here who haven't even read the translation of the glorious Quran. There are so many of us here who read other things, but we can't read a commentary of the Quran. Yet, Siratul Jinan fi Tafsir al-Quran is an amazing, amazing commentary. Short, sweet, to the point. And even youngsters from this country, you know, people who've been born and bred here, have little command of English, can understand it. That's how amazing it is. And yet, we don't find the time. It's very easy to think, well, Allah Hazrat was a genius, and he put a lot of hard work went into this. He used to sleep only a few hours. He used to eat only a little bit. He spent his entire life in working for the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent that when the disbelievers were leaving the Indian subcontinent, they started to print and distribute fake copies of the Quran and fake translations. And Allah Hazrat was quite significantly aged then, but even at that stage, he wrote a translation of the amazing Quran, which even to this day you get in the form of Kanzul Iman. This is how amazing it was. It's been translated into English
by Dawat Islami, and the English is brilliant. You can understand it. You've got side with it. Sirat al-Jinan fi Tafsir al-Quran. There's no reason why today from the Maktaba, if it's available here, you can't go and buy that. Just as a targhib, what some people have done is they've bought copies and they've put them in their homes. And they make sure when their kids go to school in the morning, when they've, you know, they get ready and they have breakfast and everything else, they spend 5 minutes reading one ruku of the glorious Quran in English. Kashki, we could do that, because we will instill in our children this habit and this blessing, you know, how to gain this blessing and barakat from the glorious Quran. And the child who reads the Quran and leaves home in the morning, he can only be successful. Today you're looking for, you know, the tarbiyat, you're looking for the upbringing of your children. Start with this. Teach them to recite the Durood-e Paak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam every morning, even if it's 3 times. And then teach them to read at least one ruku of the glorious Quran every morning when they leave. And you watch, those children could become the scholars of our future. And the last thing I'd say is this. We've heard about Ala Hazrat and how he helped with the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Karisambiyo, those were geniuses. What's going to happen to our future? Who's going to take care of it? Every single one of us wants our children to become a doctor, a barrister, an engineer, and everything else. But what about the work of deen? I urge you that at least one of your children should be an alim-e-deen, if not all of them. At least one of your children should be a hafiz of Quran, if not all of them. Why? Because the doctor, engineer, and barrister might leave you, but the alim-e-deen and the hafiz of Quran will always look after you. When you get to your dark and lonely grave, the barrister, the engineer, and the doctor might be earning money, but the hafiz of Quran will be reading for you. The alim-e-deen will be praying for you. And on the day of judgment, when people are interceding, the doctor, engineer, and barrister won't intercede for you, but the hafiz of Quran and the scholar of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will. So let's look at making our life better by making our children scholars as well. Scholars like the Shagird. I can't say like Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul Rahman, because he was just out of this world. But like those who studied under him and who went on to become people like Mufti Azmi Hind rahmatullah alayhi, and the other great, you know, Amjadri Azmi rahmatullah alayhi, and these great scholars, so that we've got a strong future for this beautiful and amazing deen. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Lameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
May you keep ascending.